Dear friends in Jesus Christ, have you ever found yourself in a desperate situation? Well, if you did, I'm not sure what you did then. But today, though, I want to give you some important advice from Psalm 130 on how we might deal with future desperate situations. The sermon today includes some basic Psalm information, an actual desperate situation I want to share with you, four action steps from Psalm 130 that we can take when we are in a desperate situation. And then finally, I want to give you the end of the real story that I'm going to share the beginning of it with you here in just a moment. Before that, though, I want to go on to some basic Psalm information. First of all, thinking about Psalms 120 to 134, those are called the songs of ascent, songs of going up, if you will. What's the idea there? Those are the Psalms that would be sung by the Jews as they traveled up to Jerusalem. Jerusalem was at a higher elevation, so as they traveled, they would sing those particular psalms. When would they go there? They would go there for the great festivals that took place three times a year. All of the men had to go, and probably oftentimes their families went with them. And then thinking about Psalm 130, it is one of seven penitential psalms. What does that mean to be penitent? Well, let's understand it's so critical for every one of us. It's critical for all people to be penitent. That means to be sorry for our sins and to be trusting in Jesus for forgiveness. That should be true every moment of every day for every one of us. We understand that every sin is against the Almighty God, so God wants us to be sorry for every one of them, and then understanding that Christ took and paid the penalty for everyone, we are trusting in Him for the forgiveness of every sin. And then thinking about Dr. Martin Luther here, he identified Psalm 130 as one of the top four psalms. Now there are how many altogether? Can someone tell me? Okay, very good, 150. So there are a lot of them, but for Dr. Luther to narrow it down only to four, well, I'd love to see you read all 150, but if you want to read the top four, that would be Psalm 130, and then you'd have to pick up also Psalm 32, Psalm 51, and Psalm 143, a challenge of something to do this week. Now what I want to do is give you an actual desperate situation. This happened just last year. Try to imagine yourself in this situation. Back in January of 2023, there was a young couple and they were dropped off at a place called Northwest Island. There's an image of it right there. It's about 35 miles off the mainland of Australia, and they got dropped off there for a camping trip. They were going to be there for 4 or 5 days, okay? And then they decided they're going to go and do some paddle boarding. No big deal. Jump on their paddle boards, do that for a little while, come back to the island, camp overnight, and so on. But when they were out on their paddle boards, they got swept away by the tide, way away from the island, and they could not get back. Eventually, they lost their paddle boards, and they were treading water. They were becoming dehydrated. They were at risk of hypothermia, and they were in a brutal storm, and they had been in all those bad situations for several days. We'll come back to that. But for now, though, I want to go to Psalm 130. So we have what I'm calling here four action steps that we can take from Psalm 130 if we would find ourselves maybe in a situation like I described, or maybe in some other desperate situation. And of course, someone who was really concerned about his sins, feeling like he's like drowning because of his sins, hey, go to Psalm 130, and that would give some great action steps to take. So first of all, The way this lines up, it's real simple. So the psalm is 8 verses, so I have 4 steps. So we're going to look at 2 verses and have a step, 2 more, 2 more, 2 more, 4 simple steps here. So first of all, the first step is to pray and to pray earnestly. The psalm says again, out of the depths. Literally here is talking about from under the water. So imagine you're under the water, you're drowning, and yet with your last breath, you're calling out from under the water. So from out of the depths, I have cried to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. What does that mean? Well, the idea is here we are, we're in a really bad situation, but yet we are trusting in the Lord. We are confident that he will hear us, and he wants us to earnestly ask him according to our needs. Let's not just assume he knows, even though he does. He wants us to earnestly ask according to our needs. What is the second step? Let us thank in regard to forgiveness. Verses 3 and 4. If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you that you may be feared. So what's this idea about marking iniquities? That means to write down the things that we do wrong. Do you think that's what God is doing? Is he making a list on each one of us of all the things we have done wrong? Think about it like this. Imagine if you sinned only 3 times every day. Now let's understand, probably in 5 seconds we could sin 10 times because we can sin in our thoughts so quickly. But imagine though, only 3 sins each day. Well, 3 sins each day, that would add up to over 1,000 per year. And then if you take your age and multiply by 1,000, what I'm trying to say is every one of us, we have a vast multitude of sins. Let's be honest. Let's not be like Adam and Eve and blame someone else. Let's admit we have sinned and we are in grave trouble and we can't fix it and we need God's help. That's the idea here. What about forgiveness? Let's understand that it is not the will of the Lord to destroy us. Now, do we deserve it? We do, but it's not his will to destroy us. It is his will to save us. Think about John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. This is a huge thing he did because he wants to save us, not destroy us. Therefore, what should we be doing in regard to the Almighty God? Let us fear him. What does it mean to fear him? That means to love him. That means to respect him. That means to honor him. May God help us with such things. What is the third step here? Wait with hope. Verses 5 and 6, I wait for the Lord. My soul does wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than the watchman for the morning, indeed, more than the watchman for the morning. So when we come to the word hope in the Bible, let's understand that to hope is to be certain. It's not like wishful thinking. To hope is to be certain. And why is it that we should be certain? Well, because the Lord is almighty in power, and every promise he has made will come true for sure. Those are the reasons why we hope, why we have certainty. Almighty power, every promise will come true. What about the idea of waiting? Who likes to do that? Kind of hard for us as Americans in the 21st century to do much waiting. We're kind of in like that fast food mentality. We want what we want, and we want it now, right? Isn't that how we are? Well, waiting is not easy, but let me tell you, though, waiting is easier, not easy, but easier when we know the situation is in the hands of the Lord and we know the fulfillment of God's promises, the fulfillment of God's rescue is going to be according to His timing, not according to our timing. It's not like we're just out there on our own and nobody knows and it's all out of control. Even though it's a hard thing and we're waiting, God wants us to know He's aware, He's in control, He has a plan. And then what's this idea about more than night watchmen? Think about being a night watchman. Imagine you live in a walled city and they have people every night are positioned on the wall. And what's the idea? You have a position on the wall and you better make sure that you stay awake. If you fall asleep and the enemy comes, you're going to be put to death. That's a very serious matter. So you're on the wall and you better keep yourself awake and you better be watching every moment for any kind of enemy activity going on so you can sound the alarm. But at the same time, though, what are you wanting so much to happen? You're so much wanting the new day to dawn. So now you can breathe a sigh of relief. Now you've made it through the night. Now the enemy has not come. Now you're not in trouble of being put to death yourself. What should we be longing for even more than someone watching on the wall? Let us be longing for the fulfillment of all of God's promises. So many He has fulfilled already, but there are promises yet to be fulfilled. Let us hope and watch in a great way for the fulfillment of every promise of God. Then finally, coming to the fourth step here, trust, not in ourselves, but let us trust in the Lord. Verses 7 and 8. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is loving kindness, and with Him is abundant redemption, and He will redeem Israel from all his iniquities. So thinking about Psalm 130, keep in mind, this was written a long time before the time of Christ. But what was Psalm 130 doing for the people in the Old Testament? It was calling them to keep trusting in the Lord God Almighty, certain that when the time was right, He would send the Lamb of God, and the Lamb of God would take away the sin of the world. A little bit different for us. I'll come back to that here in just a moment. Let me go and give you the end of the true story. The couple ended up going into the water on Saturday, January 7th. And then by Tuesday, January 10th, they were still in the water. Here they are treading water. They're becoming dehydrated, a great risk of hypothermia. They were in a brutal storm. Now, we don't know whether they were in Christ or not, but if they thought there was any kind of a God at all, we can only imagine how earnestly they were crying out to the Lord. But then, what happened, though? Well, the rest of the story, by the grace of God, a fisherman who was docking his boat in a storm, so very faintly, he thought he heard somebody crying for help. Here they are drifting, and they happen to be going right by. They had no ability to be able to get into the shore, but the fisherman, he heard their shouts for help, and it was very dangerous for him to do it, but in his small boat, he went out to where they were. He dragged them over the side of the boat into his boat. They were so thoroughly exhausted, they were almost at the point of death, but he got them to a hospital, and now they're in stable condition. When our situation is desperate, what should we do? Well, let us remember to follow these four steps. Let us pray, thank, wait, and trust. Thinking about the Old Testament for a moment, what did they do from that perspective? The Savior has not yet come. What did they do? They prayed, they thanked, they waited, they trusted for the Messiah to come and redeem all people. Now, our perspective is different. He's already come. He's done a finished work. So how should we think about it? Now, in the New Testament, we're anticipating his second coming. So we're doing all those things, thinking about his return. And what's he going to do when he comes? He's going to bring the world to an end, and he's going to give us the fullness of eternal life. Let's understand that right now, through Christ, we have eternal life. Jesus said, he who believes has eternal life. It's a present tense reality. Through faith in Jesus, we have it right now. That means that though our bodies die, who we really are continues to live and goes to be with God. So we're not actually dying, only our bodies are dying. And one day he will raise our bodies back to life, so we do have eternal life now. But he wants us to know, though, that a fullness is coming, where then we will have those immortal bodies. And then our soul and spirit will be back in that immortal body. And then we will be with God. And then no more crying or mourning or pain or death. All those things will be gone. It's going to be so very wonderful. God wants us to know that such things are coming. So between now and then, though, may God help us to remember that whatever our situation is, let us pray, let us thank, let us wait, let us trust. And now let us pray. Dear Lord, our most desperate situation was being in sin and having no ability to get out of it. So we thank you so very much for your awesome rescue of us through Jesus. Help us to live moment by moment, day by day, with thanksgiving, and help us to care about others who do not yet know Jesus, talking to them, praying for them, sharing the word of God with them, so that by your grace, they might know you too. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.